We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, so here we go. A little impromptu mailbag right at the two-hour mark. Pa-pow! Here we go. Yeah. And so, I'm pumped up, by the way, D-Rock, about not doing summer school and being able to do more shows. And it's also a last hurrah with my kid because we're doing, like, the recruiting visits and all that stuff. And so that's only going to happen one time because the other four, that's definitely not going to happen. So.
And, yes, that's Irish Breakdown's first NIL win. I was able to give Vince a better NIL deal than what Penn High School was able to do for Vince this summer. So, yes.
Fantastic.
First NIL victory for Irish Breakdown.
Yes.
It's about, hey, NIL's got to help keep your own, man. And that's basically what we did, man. We kept our own. So
darn right. We got a super chat here from It Santio. Very nice. Thank you very much. He says, thank you for the IB Club mug. It's way nice. Off topic.
It's very on topic, my friend, because it fits right into why you joined the message board. Why did he get an IB Club mug? Because he signed up as part of the Shamrock Club. So we have the monthly memberships of $4.99 a month. We will probably be raising those this summer. I'll explain it as we get closer, but we're getting to that 3-year mark where I said I won't raise rates for the first 3 years. And we're probably going to do that, not by a ton. And then the annual membership's $49.99. for a year, but you also, if you want to support Irish Breakdown above and beyond, we have the Booster Club. So we have the Shamrock Club, which is at a certain mark, then the Blue Club is next, and then the Top Club is the Gold Club. If you join the Shamrock or Blue Club, you get a free IB Club mug. So if you guys remember the IB mug that I have, it says IB and then Club, and it's not in the store. Vince doesn't have one. I don't have one. My parents don't have one. It's for IB Club members only. If you join the Gold Club, you get that, plus you get an IB Gold Club t-shirt. Again, I don't have a Gold Club t-shirt. He doesn't have a Gold Club t-shirt. My wife doesn't have a Gold Club t-shirt. Only Gold Club members have t-shirts. That's how exclusive it is. So I don't even have one. And so we have those as well. So if you join one of the booster clubs, you get that cool stuff as well. Salty's a Gold Club member. Salty Virginia Peanuts. And so he has a Gold Club t-shirt, and he actually helped us redesign it a little bit, because the original one was just a green logo, whether it was on the green shirt or whatever. And it just didn't look great with the green logo on the green shirt. So now the green shirt actually has the blue logo, and like that, right? Bam, just like that. And so he said he's wearing it now. So he has the mug, he has the shirt, and it's ready to rock and roll. So we have that as well. So yes, so it's very on topic, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate your support of Irish Breakdown, and sending you a mug and a t-shirt is the least that we can do. And so we are always appreciate that support. Absolutely.
We got another super chat from Andy Milton fan. Thank you very much for the impacted summer school students' offenses.
Yes.
I'm sure they are all going to be weeping in their Cheerios every morning of summer. There's so no doubt. Sad.
So sad. It's not my problem.
No.
Hey, you know what? It's time and a place you got to look out for yourself. And not, you know, I don't have kids.
Clock out.
You know, so it means I don't. It's bad enough I got to pay taxes for a school system that I don't have kids as a part of. But, you know, whatever.
It's fair.
It is what it is. So least I can do is get my guy to be on more shows.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Josh Buffo, the motivational business banker. OGs, any information or where we stand on Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng? I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit. Look, he visited in the spring. They're recruiting him heavily. They're growing that relationship, but they're playing the long game with him. Okay. And so there's not going to be a lot of new information. I don't even know that Notre Dame is pushing to get him on campus this summer for an official. I think they're trying to get him back on for an unofficial, but because he's going to be a December at the earliest, potentially a February signer, they're trying to use that official more for the fall and get him on campus for a game day.
Yeah.
Which I think is smart. I mean, if he's not anywhere close to decision-making mode, don't you want him on campus the weekend Notre Dame plays Florida State instead of in June? You know, where when he's now a month or two away from signing day as opposed to a summer visit, which may go great. And the thing, the summer visits are huge. Notre Dame does it upright with other top recruits and the smoker and all that other stuff. But that's at least six months away from when he's going to sign. That stuff can wear off quick. The summer visits are great for kids that are deciding this summer. If a kid's not deciding this summer, it's sometimes, if you know, you got to get to know the kid, can we afford to maybe slow play this a little bit to where we're not trying to use all of our ammo now? We want to get that visit down the road. And so that's why you're just not going to hear a ton of that. So he's going to go on summer visits and all that kind of stuff. But remember, kids don't have to only do five now. They can do as many officials as they want now.
Really?
That rule got passed as well. So wow. Even if he takes five this summer, he can take one every weekend in the fall as well if he wants.
Are schools still limited to how many they can have?
Yeah, but they've expanded it, I believe. Okay. I'd have
so
to look
not,
into
so
that.
So not really.
It's a while. It's been a while since I looked into that. But most teams didn't use them all anyway. So it's not that huge of a deal. But I do believe they've expanded it a little bit to how many schools can have. Don't quote me on that because it's been a while since I've looked at that rule. But that's
fair. I was just curious.
Yeah. So that's a slow play one in that regard. So it's going to be a while. But they are continuing to slowly get into a better and better place with the Nathaniel. Absolutely.
Can a kid do an official visit to the same school twice or more than once?
I don't think so. Okay. No, I think that's still the same. You can take as many visits as you want to a school, but you can only do one official.
Gotcha. Where they actually pick up the tab. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. Coleman Smith, how will the time change affect the performance on the field, especially in the ACC? Time change?
Like from schools going from West Coast to East Coast,
I imagine. Football, it won't do anything because football's been happening forever. I mean,
Stanford hasn't been playing potentially 2 to 3 noon East Coast games. Well, I would imagine that there's going to be some level of conversation about not having Stanford's road games always be noon games, you know, make them more of the 3:30 window. But yeah, there's going to be times when Stanford's going to have to play at noon on the East Coast. And that means you're playing at 9 o'clock in the morning your time. It's part of the deal.
I mean, they could potentially play a noon game at their place, which would be, I mean, noon Eastern.
I don't think it affects the ACC nearly as much as it's going to affect the Big Ten and the other leagues. I mean, so like, matter of fact, the Big Ten only has two time zones. It's East Coast and West Coast. No, there's three. SMU is on SMU Central.
Okay.
Right. Dallas is, I believe, Central.
Northwestern is Central.
Right. So that's three. Whereas I think the SEC has got three now, right? East, Central, and then – no, they're only on two because Oklahoma and Dallas are on Central, not Mountain, right? Big 12 is essentially got Central, Mountain, and West Coast now, right? Because I think Arizona is actually Mountain, but – And Utah would be Mountain, Colorado. So they may only be two as well, Central and Mountain. But then they've got the East also with some of those teams. Somebody said I said Big Ten, SMU to the Big Ten. I don't remember saying that. But, yeah, SMU, ACC. SEC's got two, right? So they're Central and East. So Big Ten now is going to be in three. Right. So they're now going to be East, Central, and West, which is the bigger gap. It's like Big 12 being a Central, Mountain, and West. It's not as big of a difference from East to West. So, yeah, it's going to make scheduling a little bit of a hang up.
Yeah.
A little bit of a challenge. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. But the Big Ten's been dealing with that for a long time. I mean, Iowa's a Central. Nebraska Central, you said Northwestern, Wisconsin, Minnesota. That's been going on for a while.
Right.
But now you're adding the West Coast to that.
Yes.
Which is what'll jack it up a little bit. Yes, so are you like, how many times are you going to have those teams play noon games? Big Ten plays a lot of noon games.
Big noon kickoff is their biggest game of the week. And so if those West Coast teams want to play in the biggest game of the week, they're going to be playing at 9 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not easy.
Yep. That's right. So a lot of those leagues are playing now in three time zones, which is Big Ten's in three, Big 12's in three, ACC's now in three. I can't think of anybody in the SEC that's past Texas and Oklahoma. Those are the farthest west, right? Because Arkansas Central, Missouri Central, they've already had Central. So that's new for them. And I don't think they have anything west of that. So SEC actually now has the fewest time zones. They're just east and Central. It's only an hour difference. So it's going to be very interesting, Vince, to see how this all plays out as far as the scheduling. And you've got so many more teams now. It's going to be fascinating. But I don't think the ACC is going to be as impacted is because they're adding a fewer amount of teams. Only three teams are going to be playing in that deal. You know what I mean? So it's just going to be a little bit different. So yeah, we're going to see. It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Going to be very interesting.
Josh Buffo with another question. With the current wide receiver board as it sits, where, in your opinion, is Notre Dame leaning? What players will be the chosen ones, in your opinion?
Yeah, Josh, I don't look at it like that. I mean, look, we've said for a while that Taylen Taylor and Derek Meadows are kind of at the top of that board, but they like a lot of those. I mean, they like Raiden Vines-Bright. They like Javon Buggs. There's not like a chosen one. They definitely want Derek Meadows because of the unique skill set. But after that, it's like, okay, we like all these guys. We'll take all these guys. So I don't know that Notre Dame's leaning anywhere other than what we've said for a while, which is they want that unique skill set of Derek Meadows. That's the one thing that I can confidently say is true.
Dan V, what will be the two most shocking storylines for Notre Dame football during this upcoming season?
Shocking. I mean, man, that's an interesting one, Dan. Shocking storylines. Could be good, could be bad. Shocking storylines. Well, I know the ones that – I mean, I don't know. I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not a fortune teller. But I'll tell you – but let's have some fun with it, though, right? So, like, I don't know what it's going to be, Dan. But I want to have some fun with the conversation. And so I think one of them could potentially be shocking is the play of the offensive line. And it could go either direction. And that's kind of how I feel could happen is I could see the light going on for the offensive line and it becomes like a, wow, this group is really good. Or this unit's rough. It's been a rough year for this group. Like I could see and that's going to impact. That could be a shocking storyline. You know, I think one shocking storyline could be Notre Dame is back. You know, and they go win at all. That would be shocking. Let's be honest. That would shock Notre Dame Nation as well. There's a lot of fans that believe Notre Dame can win it, but don't think that they will anytime soon. Let's be real about that. And Brian Kelly sped up that acceptance amongst the fan base because he basically convinced people for a long time that wasn't really possible.
Right.
He basically convinced fans that making the playoff is the end game now, essentially, without actually saying it. But that's how he lowered the bar.
Yep.
So there's a lot of Notre Dame fans that don't think this team has a chance to win a championship. Not truly. Hey, we may be able to win a couple games. We can't win a title.
Right.
That's a potential shocking storyline. You know, I don't know that. Honestly, Vince, when it comes to the only shocking things I can think of would be bad. Because I just think this team is really talented. And so like, Jordan Patelho breaks out and has a big year. Is that a shocking storyline? Not really. It'd be a pleasant surprise. It'd be him finally doing what you know he's capable of, but it wouldn't be like, wow, where'd that guy come from? I don't know that I feel that way. Andre Tonsil had one, Vince, 2,000-yard receivers and two 1,000-yard backs.
Wow.
If that happens, Notre Dame's winning a title, Andre.
Wow.
Notre Dame they are at least playing for the championship if that happens. But
wow.
But that would be shocking.
That would be shocking.
This is shocking. So I like that one. Vince, you had one. I could see on the tip of your tongue you had one.
I don't know if this qualifies as shocking or not. I think it would shock a lot of people in, that Steve Angeli is the number three quarterback.
Ooh. Well, and I'd even take it even further. If that's true, then I think the shocking storyline is Steve Angeli leaves.
Sure.
If we get to the end of the spring and he's been beaten out by somebody.
Oh, I don't know if it'll happen that quickly. But,
yeah.
I mean, your point is well taken. That would shock me if they made that declaration at the end of spring.
I don't think they do that even if in their heads they thought someone was.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because they want to keep him around as long as humanly possible. And he would leave. He would absolutely leave if he was number three.
And he should.
Absolutely.
If he wants to play football, he gets – because the only people that could pass him up are younger guys. That would be the – you know what I mean? That would be the problem. So,
but I think that would shock a lot of people. I mean, I do. Yeah. I think it would shock a lot of people if that was the case. You know, come game one, let's call it that.
Yep, that'll be an interesting one. Any others that you could possibly think of? When we talked about the D-line. You know, we talked about the O-line. We talked about winning it all. I mean, I just don't – I don't know that I would be shocked by a lot of positives that would come out of the season. I don't. I think the only thing that could maybe shock me, Vince, is if something negative happened.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to fathom that right now.
Yeah, I don't even want to speak it into existence.
Yeah. I mean, the only one that keeps popping in my head and I just kind of have nightmares about is Riley Leonard never actually plays for Notre Dame.
Yeah, that would be shocking.
With just the leg injury and it just keeps happening and it gets hurt again and we never get a chance to see him. Or if we see him, he's not close to the player he was. That would be a shocking storyline. I don't predict it, but that's probably my biggest fear. My two biggest fears about this football team, outside of just the normal, you have a major rash of injuries, which every team is afraid of, is the O-line's not as good as we hope it'll be.
Sure.
And Riley Leonard really play much or is not anywhere close to the guy he was 2 years ago because of the injuries. Those are my two biggest fears about this football team. They are.
It's fair.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ed, 3 over under, the ACC is finished by 2028. I think over. I think they've set themselves up to at least be around.
Yeah. I don't think this imminent the demise of the ACC is what people, because I think what the ACC would do is they would probably, if they lost, because the fear with the ACC is that they lose Florida State and Clemson, which is probably going to happen, barring some reversal. They would then lose like North Carolina and Virginia. Right. That's the worst case scenario for the ACC. And then, you know, maybe NC State follows. And like the governor of North Carolina just passed a law. I believe it was a law that basically he can decide the fate of those teams joining, jumping a league.
What?
So that could mean he could say, North Carolina, you're not leaving. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this. I'm being very general with how this works because I didn't read the law. But he could also then say, if you want to take Carolina, you also have to take NC State. Because Duke doesn't count. Duke's a private school. And I believe Wake Forest is also a private school. Actually, let me look that up real quick because I could be wrong on that. But I believe Wake Forest is also a private school. Yes, private research university. So North Carolina, NC State are the North Carolina public schools. They're part of the North Carolina school system. Just like Ohio State's part of the Ohio school system, they're all part of the same system. The public schools, same with, you know, USC is a private school, but like UCLA, you know, Stanford's a private school, but like UCLA is a public. So it's like, it's why there's like the UCSB, UC, you know, LA, UCLA, San Luis, SLBO, San Luis Obispo, or whatever it is, you know, but they're all University of California at Los Angeles, at whatever. And that's why a lot of people think USC is part of that because of the U, but it just stands for University of Southern California. They're a private school. They're not part of the California school system. So that's why there's the potential. The governor could have held up UCLA leaving for the Big Ten, but he couldn't do anything about USC leaving. So, you know, that's going to be interesting. Does the governor force Carolina to stay? Do they force whatever league's going to take Carolina to also take NC State? If the Big Ten wants for North Carolina, but they don't want North Carolina and NC State, does that then force North Carolina to go to the Big 12 or to stay in the ACC? It's all going to be real fascinating. I just don't think the ACC is going to die the way the Pac-12 did. I think the ACC is what'll more likely happen. Like, here's the deal, guys. If the Big 12 can survive losing Texas and Oklahoma, the ACC can survive without losing Florida State and Clemson. Do you want to know why? The biggest reason why? Because Texas and Oklahoma are giant TV markets, or at least Texas has one with the Austin and Dallas. Florida State and Clemson are middle-of-the-road ACC markets, TV markets. Now, they're big-time football powers, but they're not big TV markets. Miami's a bigger market. Atlanta's a bigger market. North Carolina is a bigger market because of the growing Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham is really exploding. It's a much bigger market. University of Virginia's got a bigger market because they've got Northern Virginia, which is booming in the DC area, right? So they're not the powerhouse TV market that people think they are.
Right.
They're a powerhouse football team. The reason losing Texas and Oklahoma hurt the Big 12 is because they took the biggest TV market, the biggest draw in the biggest TV market out. The two biggest draws in their big TV market are out. Florida State and Clemson don't have that kind of power over the ACC. If they're all that the ACC loses, that's what people don't understand. And so the ACC could then go poach somebody. They could, you know, maybe try to get a, you know, hey, let's go get James Madison and really lock down that Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland market. Let's go try to, you know, get into a, you know, someone else. I mean, there's all types of things that they could do to survive that loss if they can still keep the ESPN contract. That would be the tough part, is if ESPN says, nah, we're out. But here's the thing. If they can add TV markets to the deal, then they'd be able to survive it. And that's the difference, is if the Big 12 can survive losing Dallas, then the ACC can survive losing Clemson, South Carolina, and Tallahassee. That's just a fact. They're not the heavyweights in the Big 10. Like, Ohio State and Michigan are heavyweights with their TV markets. Not because it's not a big city, like it's not Dallas, but it's an entire state.
Yeah, exactly.
That does nothing but live and breathe that program sports. You know, and they're good-sized states. They're not like little tiny Nebraska. I mean, Ohio's got like, what, 18 electoral votes? Nebraska's got like 5. You know what I mean? Like, Minnesota's got like 10, something like that. You know, Wisconsin's like, what, 9? Something. I mean, there's much smaller states. And Ohio State and Michigan are bigger states. So that's the reality of it. It's about the TV markets. And everyone's like, oh, ACC's going to fold. Why? You thinking that's automatically going to happen? Their concern is if they lose Virginia, North Carolina. That's when the ACC's in trouble. Not because they lost Florida State and Clemson. Because, again, what's this all about, Vince? TV money.
Money, money, money!
TV money. And if Miami, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia stay in the ACC, they still got the Louisville market. They still got the Pittsburgh market. They still, you know what I mean? They still got Boston. They still got markets. You know, they're not all huge when it comes to college sports, but they still have those markets. Losing Tallahassee and Clemson doesn't crush them the way. So I say again, if the Big 12 can survive without Texas and Oklahoma, and for now they are, then the ACC can first survive without Clemson and Florida State. That's my opinion. So I don't think they're going to survive. They're going to die. Now, could they die as a football conference like the Big East? Yes, they could. That whereas they're not a power anymore.
Yeah.
They get relegated to, you know, a substandard division, but the ACC is still exists. Right. The ACC is not going to go away. Just like the guys, the Big East is still a thing. It's just not a football league anymore. So that's the difference.
Coleman.
Now, can I just say this? That would be the fascinating thing. If the ACC implodes, here's the thing that people have to understand. The difference in the Pac-12 is there were more markets that people wanted in the Pac-12. So you rated all of it. Like once USC and UCLA left and Oregon and Washington left, there were still valuable TV markets that people coveted. Salt Lake City, Denver, Phoenix. The ACC doesn't have that. The Big Ten and the SEC aren't going to be like, give us Boston College. Give us Pitt. Give us Syracuse. So could that be something that where maybe the Big East football becomes a thing, or are those teams going to be forced to stay in the ACC? Because where are those teams going to go? Right? Like, where are they going to go? The Big 12 is not going to give a rip about Syracuse. The ACC, or the Big East, the Big 10 won't want them. Does the Big 12 want them for basketball? You know what I mean? So, like, that's the thing is, like, they've got a better chance to survive in that regard. But does the Big East say, let's get back to playing football and do that? That I don't think that'll happen, but that'd be an interesting part to look at it, because they may say, hey, let's get Syracuse back. Let's get Pitt back. Let's get these former, you know, programs back, and maybe they go independent for football. And, you know, there's so many – it's going to be fascinating. But at the end of the day, yeah, I don't think those happen, because I think those teams – it's still going to be better for them to be in the ACC than for them to go to the Big East or the AAC or the other thing, as long as they can still keep that TV contract somewhat intact. That's how I look at it.
All right, Coleman Smith. Brian, how do you log in if you don't have an account on IB? I want to join the board. I'm so confused.
Create an account. You don't have to pay to create an account. You can create a free account. But basically what you do is you go to – and I'll put the link in there. But you just go to this link that I'm about to send you, and it'll take you to join. And you will go down to – so I'm going to put this in there. It's the join page. And you'll go down and you'll see join the IB community. You can create a free account, which doesn't give you access to anything but the free board. And there's not really anything going on the free board. But then you go down and join either the monthly membership, the annual membership, or one of the booster clubs. And then you can create an account that way as you pay. If you just want to create an account now and then have it ready for paying down the road, there's a link that says join here under free account. And you just put in a username, put in an email, and you figure it out that way. But the link I just sent you will have all the links you need to join the website. So you create your account as you join. If you've already created a free account, you then just log in under your free account and go to the top and go here. I'll send you this other link for that. If you create an account in the past, but you never created an account, you'd actually just go log in. Go to that same page I just sent, actually, and you can now join. You can buy a membership. So either way, that site will get you where you need to get to. So you'll be good to go. Actually, let me just send this page in here real quick. I'm going to log in real quick under my other account. I'm going to go down to this page right here. And so, Coleman, if you created an account, anyone that created an account previously but didn't pay for one, you'd go to here and choose your membership option. So those are the two options for that, Vince. So we'll get you taken care of.
Nice.
Here's another one.
Yes. He says, what do you think will happen to non-conference schedules with realignment and now 12 teams in the playoff instead of four?
I mean, SEC just announced that they're going to stay at eight for a while. I think the Big Ten's been nine for a while. I don't think a lot's going to change there. I think you might see the ACC and Big 12 go to nine, but as of now, I don't believe they've made that change. The SEC said they're going to stay at eight.
So, now, from a competition standpoint, do you think teams are going to be – how do you think that's going to go? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, part of the reason that for the SEC it makes sense to stay at eight is because most of them have – a lot of them have an external rival. So for Florida sure. State, Florida, it's like, yeah, we only play eight, but we play Florida State every year.
Right.
You know, Georgia plays Georgia Tech every year. Clemson and South Carolina play every year. Kentucky plays Louisville every year. So you've got that ninth Power Five game already built in
right.
with your rival. Where the Big Ten, all the rivals in the Big Ten are within the league. So it makes more sense to have a nine-team schedule because your rivals are built in. Good SEC point. And ACC have a lot of crossover rivals, especially with some of those SEC teams. And so I can understand that. Now, what I would do is if I was the commissioner of the SEC, I would say, listen, we're going to stay at eight, but you have to guarantee that you're going to play at least two Power Four non-conference games. And then you can schedule a MAC team and an FCS team after that. But you got to play at least two Power Four out of conference games. Now, for some of those teams, that's easy. For South Carolina, that's easy. We already have Clemson. For Florida, that's easy. More. We already have Florida State. We yep. just need to add one. For Bama, Tennessee, because Kentucky already has one built in with Louisville, but like Bama, LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, teams like that whose rival is a league team, then that might be a little bit tougher to do. But what I would love to see is I would love to see football kind of adopt a little bit of what the basketball thing did. Hey, we're going to sign a four-year pact. The Big Ten is going to sign a four-year pact with the ACC for non-conference games. So we're gonna come up and we're going to work together to create a four-year thing. We're going to have the same number of home and homes, only a certain amount of teams partake in it every year like we do in basketball. But we'll try to get as you know even as we can to say we're going to play games against each other. And, you know, we'll try to get some marquee matchups, maybe in some neutral site games, but we want to get our leagues on your campus and you want to get our leagues on our campus, that kind of thing. Maybe the SEC signs one with the Big 12 or the Big 10 signs with the Big 12 and the ACC, SEC, you know, create something. Like, I would love to see if they do that. That'd be a lot of fun. I don't know how likely that is because the reason they do it in basketball for a long time is because ESPN had all the leagues. You know what I mean? So it's just, okay, well, Big 10's on ESPN and, for the because they'd be like night, you know, weekday games. So like Big Ten basketball, even though they had they were with CBS for a while on for the weekend games, the weekday games were Big Ten games. And so they could do these things and it's like we own the contract for all of them. I don't know how willing they would be to that with ACC and SEC being with that ESPN and then the Big 12 and the SEC being with the Big 12 and the Big Ten being with Fox. And then CBS and those type of things. So maybe that's what they do. And if you're Fox, there's like, hey, Big Ten, we have both of you. You're our big brand, but we're going to use you to help build up this league. And so we're going to create a Big Ten, Big 12 crossover series where one of your non-conferences are going to be against it. I think stuff like that is something we could see happen, or at least we should see
happen. That stuff could be fun. I mean, that could be fun. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And you're more likely to get teams to jump on board now with the 14-team playoff because you can afford to, you know, let's say Ohio State has to play Utah. And Utah's like, well, we already have a tough league. I don't want to play Ohio State and get our butts kicked. And now we're out of the 14 playoff because we lost Ohio State. Now it's like, hey, no, even if we play Ohio State tough, that's going to help build our resume to make it to the college football playoff because now there's more teams. So you're more willing to take some of those scheduling gambles knowing that, hey, 10-2 with a really tough schedule still gets us in. So I think you could see that also, Vince, where now there's more incentive to play a tougher non-conference.
Sure.
So that'd be a lot of fun. I would love to see something like that. Yeah. Yep. So I want to follow up on Dan. Dan came up with he was responding to Andre's 2,000 yards and all that. He said he was more – when he wrote the question about storylines, he said something about stat kind of thing, and that hasn't happened in a while. So, but I don't know if there's anything that would be shocking beyond what like Andre said, you know, like Riley Leonard throws for 4,000 yards.
That'd yeah, be a some, shocking something story big, line. Some yeah. big stat, or
2,000 yard rushers would be a big stat. I mean, it'd be a shocking storyline. Well, to the nation.
Yeah,
how about? I don't know that a lot of Notre Dame fans would be super, you know, shocked yeah. by that. I just think that I think that's more likely if Riley Leonard's hurt. I think if Riley Leonard plays this year, I don't see how there's any way you have 2,000 yard backs because he's going to have so much of the rushing yardage as part of that. But you never know. You never know.
Notre Dame averages less than 100 yards rushing a game.
Oh, God, that'd be terrible.
It'd be shocking. It would yeah. be shocking.
Notre Dame leads the nation in rushing. How about that?
That would be shocking.
Of the non-option teams?
In the other direction.
Yeah. That would be less shocking to me. Because yes. we've seen Notre Dame get close to that before.
For sure, for sure.
I mean, I think 2017, I think they were, what, second among non-option teams in rushing? I believe, might have been first, I think, but I think they were second. Army, Navy, Arizona. No, they were third. It was Army, Navy, Arizona, Air Force, Georgia Tech, FAU, Group of Five, though, and then Notre Dame. So they were third amongst Power Five teams. So, hey, and Coleman just signed up. I just got the email alert that Coleman got signed up. So he's all good to go. Bought an annual membership. My man. You're not going to regret it, buddy. You're not going to regret it. So I appreciate you being in. Let's get to some more of these questions here, Mr. D'Addario.
All right, another one from Josh Buffo. What Notre Dame players in your Notre Dame watching experience would you like to have seen go against each other in man-on-man drills, wide receivers versus corners, running backs versus linebackers?
Can we
running go backs versus linebackers is a terrible one-on-one drill because linebackers are always put in a terrible position on those.
Yes, but you know what I would love to see? I would love to see Jeremiah Love and Jalen Smith in a one-on-one or Jeremiah Love and Jeremiah Wusu-Koromoa.
Okay.
There aren't a lot of them, but that's one. Let's add O-line, D-line into this one too, Vince, because you know he asked that question before I saw the receiver cornerback. You know the first one that popped in my head? I would love to see Quentin Nelson against Bryant Young or Chris Zorich. Either one.
Wow.
Either one.
Okay. All right.
That would be awesome. Like in their prime, Bryant Young versus Quentin Nelson or Quentin Nelson versus Chris Zorich. Now, Zorch would be giving up like 70 pounds to Q.
True.
But he's got that he's got that crazy badger mentality. You're like, yeah, he may be down 70, but that actually might motivate him more. You know, because I always felt Chris Zorch played like his life was on the line. You know what I mean? Like he was in a life or death
battle. Because it kind of was for him in his own mind.
Like so, that, yeah.
That's how he played the game.
Q against Bryant Young would have been an epic. Here's another one on the outside. Justin Tuck against Joe Walt.
Okay.
That would be a great one. I would not want to punish any Notre Dame cornerback by having to check Rocket. So I'll go here. Todd Light against Will Fuller. That would be a receiver corner duo I would love to see. Todd Light against Will Fuller. That would be fun to see. That'd be fun to see. Running back, linebacker, Jeremiah Love against Jalen or Jeremiah is the only one that I can think of. Like with all due respect, like Theo Riddick and you know those type of guys, that's not one I would really care too much about.
None of the running back, linebacker ones do anything for me because it's not real football. Like if you're talking like maybe some sort of a drill where one has to tackle the other one.
You can do an Oklahoma drill.
Like, yeah. Like, okay, that's something different than what we see in one-on-ones.
You know what would be a great Oklahoma drill one-on-one linebacker DB? Jerome Bettis against Manti.
Well, and people have already put that one in there.
Oh, really?
Like, that I could see. Yeah. Like an actual
in an
like,
Oklahoma drill, not like a pass game one-on-one?
Correct.
Yeah, man.
Because right now, when you think one-on-ones, it's a passing drill.
Oh, and I got you, Vince. Yeah. I got you. I got the ultimate Oklahoma drill matchup. Because when we did Oklahoma drill, it was O-line, D-line, running back, linebacker, right?
Correct. Yes.
Quentin Nelson against Bryant Young with Jerome Bettis and Manti.
Oh.
That is the ultimate Oklahoma drill matchup right there. Tell me, Vince, I would pay money if Notre Dame charged admission to be at an Oklahoma drill where we got to watch five reps of Q and Bryant Young and Jerome and Manti going to, I would literally pay a ticket admission price to see that drill. I would literally pay money to see that drill.
There would be the sound of plastic would be, I mean, just the noise by itself would be amazing. But I would want to be down there. Like, I want to stand there like a coach with a whistle. Like, right on top of it. Like, I don't want to be up in the stands watching that happen.
That is four Hall of Fame college football players.
Yeah.
That all played physical football, man. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Now, I love some of the ones in here. Somebody said Kyle Hamilton versus Michael Mayer, Bobby Taylor versus Golden Tate. That would be a fun one. Kyle Hamilton versus Jeremiah. Jeremiah Love would torch Kyle Hamilton, guys. Kyle Hamilton is not a man coverage guy.
No.
Kyle Hamilton, go watch this. That's not a knock on Kyle Hamilton. He's a phenomenal football player, but that's not his strength. Yeah, just lining up playing man-to-man. I remember watching Kyron Williams screwing, man. Remember that first spring with Kyron Williams? And he just had Kyle Hamilton. And that's not his game. He's 6'4". Like, that's not – you know, coming up playing press man, you're putting him – you're a bad coach. You're not putting him in a good position.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you're doing that a whole lot. But him against Michael Mayer, that'd be a lot of fun. Somebody said Benjamin Morrison versus Michael Floyd. I'd rather see Cam Hart – against Michael.
Yes, Ford. Because he's longer. Yeah.
Yes. That would be a better. I would rather see a Benjamin against like Golden Tate, Will Fuller, something like that. That would be a more enjoyable one for me. Somebody said Audric Estime versus Manti, that'd be another one. But if you're older, I just feel like, man, Jerome Bettis against Manti would be a phenomenal Oklahoma drill. And here's the funny, if you asked them about it, Manti'd be all like humble, you know, oh, he's a great, and Jerome would be like, yeah, Manti's a great player, but I'd beast him. Cause that's just kind of how Jerome is.
Right.
I mean, he just had that supreme confidence. But that would, man, I'm fired. I wish I could see that. I wish I could see that, man. Q against, here's the thing. We kind of had that in practice. In 1992, you had potential three of those four. You had Jeff Fain, Bryant Young, and Jerome Bettis on the same team.
That is true.
I'm sorry, not Jeff Fain. Aaron Taylor. Bryant Young and Jerome. You know that there had to be at least one Oklahoma drill with those three guys in the field together. You
That's
knew
back
it
when
had
they used to still have Oklahoma drills.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That'd be great. That'd be really fun. Somebody said, I want Vince versus Bryant. Dude, I'm a quarterback. I was handing the ball off.
Yeah, and I wasn't cooperating in Oklahoma drills very often either. But I did it. Don't get me wrong. But if I was on defense, I was going low, very low.
I did it once one year on defense, and I was like, my senior year of high school, I was like, no, I ain't doing this anymore. It's a really dumb drill. But, yeah, those would be some fun ones, man. Those would be some real fun. Derek Mays versus Benjamin Morrison, be a good one. But I feel like Derek Mays probably wouldn't be like a great one-on-one guy. He's more of like that team type of he's going to dominate you in team. A little bit of a different deal.